Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. I can't break that record. I'm not in the mood for it. We need something stronger. How about There's No England Anymore? Let's go to that instead. England disappeared under Tony Blair. Right now it's nothing but a bunch of pub drunks. See, the only people who could save England are the soccer thugs, and they're in jail. The soccer thugs are gone, so there's no England anymore. At 10 Downing Street, ah, that's better, that's better. I'm just going to warm up slow today. Got my cup of green tea here. I'm not going to get excited over the world. We got a bunch of morons running everything. Morons like John McCain. They're sending John McCain to Bombay. Mr. Schmuck. Mr. Schmuck goes to India. Says don't fire a shot in anger. You schmuck, you. Perfect job for you, you putz. Anyway, where was I before I got so wrapped up in all of this? I have a good monologue for you today called From Public Schools to Pubic School in One Generation. From Public School to Pubic School in One Generation. I was trying to understand how the media has evolved or devolved to such an extent that a moron on MSLGBT, that's Microsoft Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Network, MSLGBT, has a woman on there named Alex Witless. Alex Witless laments the fact that the election of Obama didn't stop terrorism. So I was thinking about it. How could this happen that a woman as witless as Alex Witless on MSLGBT, Microsoft Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Network, how is it that she could be this naive and this stupid? And I said, it's the public schools. Instead of teaching them common sense, they teach them pubic sense. We have a generation of people in this nation whose minds have been destroyed by the disease of liberalism. We have a generation of morons whose mommies told them not to hit back when they were attacked. We have a generation of imbeciles who think that it's more important to talk about how much Britney Spears' latest album appeals to homosexuals than it is to talk about the identities of the people who have killed mercilessly in Bombay. Their attitude is, if it feels good, do it. It's destroying us. The public school self-esteem regime is killing us. We've gone from public schools to pubic schools in one generation. Prime example of imbeciles, Alex Witless, an anchor at MSLGBT, or the Microsoft Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgendered Network. On this cable channel, Alex Witless expressed shock and surprise that the terrorists would attack again, even after the mindless fools of America voted for Barack Obama. She actually said that there had been such a global outpouring of affection, respect, and hope that these kinds of attacks would be dampened down. You see, Alex Witless assumed that if the sheeple of the United States voted for someone who wasn't an evil white male, like the lesbian history teacher talked about in high school, that the rest of the world would be so grateful that Muslim terrorism would just vanish. If only the American people would overcome their inherent racism, the Islamofascists would see how good we are and put down their guns, unstrap their bombs, and go back to their madrasas. But the childish fantasy of Alex Witless and other members of our generation failed to come true. And there are at least 300 dead bodies in Bombay to prove it, most of them tortured. Most of them tortured Alex Witless. Now let's listen to Witless as she spoke on MSLGBT. Let's hear clip one.
There are many who had such an optimistic and hopeful opinion of things, and you certainly can't expect things to change on a dime overnight. But there are many who suggest that with the outgoing Bush administration and the incoming Obama administration, there would be something of a lull in terrorism attacks. There had been such a global outpouring of affection, respect, hope with a new administration coming in that precisely these kinds of attacks, it was thought, at least hoped, would be dampered down. But in this case, it looks like Barack Obama is getting a preview of things to come.
Well, Alex, that is shocking. Now, the next time you're having your hair done and you're picking your clothing from the green room rack of Best Buy leftovers, you may think that your career might soon be over, Alex Witless, after a remark like this. Who knows? With NBC being what it is, she might move up to the anchor spot on Meet the Depressed. But wait, it doesn't end with Alex Witless in the media. Now we go to San Francisco, where the mayor, Annie Toosome Newsom, gave a seven-hour State of the City address. I was scanning TV last night, and I saw this man, this clown, this mayor, going through his talk about what he was going to do to save San Francisco. And one of the things this clown, Annie Toosome Newsom, came up with was he wants to close down all the power plants that drive the power in San Francisco. He says, we're going to get out of the power plant business. Now, I don't know where he's going to get the power from. I have no idea where it's going to come from, but it won't be in his backyard. Boy, it got worse. Annie Toosome Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco, then showed a slide of San Francisco's airport underwater. And it was, of course, a fantasy derived from Al Gore's lie about global warming. And it was a creation of the mindset of pot smokers and lunatics around him who told him that this is definitely going to happen. Now, you're not going to believe this. I want you to listen to clip four.
Here's a horrific slide. This is the airport underwater. And this is the baseline expectations of water and sea level rise in this region and what it would do for the areas, the lower areas around the bay. This is real life, and we need to take it seriously. We need to start investing today in adaptation strategies, and this is something.
Okay, let's stop right here. Now, here's a man showing a fantasy of what might happen should there actually be global warming sometime 1,000 years from now. And this man, this deranged man who runs San Francisco, says, now this is real life. Not only is this charlatan trying to force homosexual marriage down the throats of children in San Francisco, even though the people of the state overwhelmingly rejected homosexual marriage, Annie Toosome Newsom is also turning San Francisco into an eco-fascist state of mind. In his recent seven-hour-long State of the City address, he said we need to get out of the power plant business. This is real life, he whined, as he showed the San Francisco airport underwater as a result of global warming. He didn't even realize that this was fantasy, not reality. He said this is real life. Now, what is this about when you have Alex Witless on MSLGBT, and you have the mayor of a city saying things like this, disconnected from reality? What explains this? This is the result of a generation that has been feminized and removed from reality. It's also the result of an evil man who warped millions of children who might otherwise have grown up to be real men and women with common sense. His name, Dr. Benjamin Spock. Spock taught mothers how to be more flexible with their children, to understand children's needs, and to foster the child's self-esteem. Dr. Spock may be gone, but the scar he left on America is still here. We have a generation of men who won't fight. We have a generation of women who want nothing but orgasms and pointy shoes. We have a generation of leaders who are cynical and criminal. We have gone from Dr. Spock to Dr. Strangelove in one generation. This is Michael Savage, and I approve of my monologue, From Public School to Pubic School in One Generation. It can be found up on michaelsavage.com, along with all of the other stories that we're going to get to today. You can call me at 1-800-449-8255. When I come back, I have an astounding article that was sent to me this morning about the fact that the Romans, that's correct, thousands of years ago, the Romans, are you listening to me? The Romans in AD 32, during the reign of the Roman Emperor Tiberius, actually had the same kind of mortgage meltdown that we're having now. and stumbled into the same potholes which swallowed Rome and which is going to swallow America, because we have idiots who do not know history called George Bush and Treasury Secretary Paulson, who should be in an orange jumpsuit in Pelican Bay. I'll be right back. Savage. It is the Savage Nation. I am so fed up with the charlatans, fools, drug addicts, Prozac-taking lunatics that are running the country into the quicksand, that my mind is just drifting back to the past. When real men ran America, real men ran America. Now, some of them were corrupt, but there was a firewall that they would not cross in the 50s. That firewall was the children. That firewall was the church. That firewall was sedition. They wouldn't cross it. But all those goalposts have been removed. Now we have psychopaths who are fighting for the other side. So is it any wonder I remember commercials such as the next Dinosaur City USA in a Chevrolet? Can I have that one, please?
Viva USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On
yeah.
a highway.
All right, that's enough. See, at that time, America was solid. It was in good hands. It was a safe place. Your grandmother could walk to the corner for a loaf of bread or a pint of ice cream at midnight and come back unmolested. That's when the country was run properly. That's when the police would take a suspicious character and rubber hose him in the back and tell him never come back to this neighborhood again, and they didn't come back. That's when the cops were big and tough. That's before they hired the LGBT crowd and couldn't find uniforms to fit their head. There was also the Philip Morris ad, for example. Let me hear the Philip Morris ad. The midget. Sad, sad. He was... All right, he killed millions of men with it, but he was appealing, nevertheless. It felt good as they were smoking the cigarettes. They felt secure that the Philip Morris was good for them. They thought it was like a vitamin. Like today, you take vitamins, your father or grandfather smoked like a cigarette like that, thinking it was the equivalent of vitamin A or vitamin E. You know what I'm saying? But he made a lot of money. He liked boating, I heard. Johnny Robertini, the midget, and liked his women. Nothing wrong with that. He had his money, so it's his. He earned his money fairly, made a nice living, had boats in Sheepshead Bay, they say, and liked his women. Yeah, but when you look back today on the women, you think they're, you know, when you were a kid, oh, women with the bread lipstick with the bazookas, you know, oh, boy. But you look today, dogs, unbelievable, monsters. They said bowling. There was another ad from that era that no one will understand, maybe. Let's say the audience is 8 to 10 million a week, so it breaks down to, what, 2 million a day? I don't know what it is. So you break it down by the minute. There's probably 800,000 people a minute listening to this show. Of the 800,000, I guarantee you 8 will know what this ad is. Play this one.
Joe and Paul, let's start a fight, kriegen, brother, Joe and Paul, that wird je bully kriegen, brother, suit, a coat, a kitten, zolle, perfect, a feten, daft hier, kuiven, nor by Joe and Paul.
Oh, yes. It's great to have nostalgia. I've come to a new understanding of my radio show and the power of the Savage Nation. I've come to understand I don't even have to get excited. My audience will grow even more. In other words, the less excited I get, the bigger the audience, because women are afraid of loud noises. They get frightened if you speak too loudly. So in a way, in other words, my audience is so set on me. I'm part of the mental geography of my audience that there's no shaking it. They're going to listen whatever I do because they love my ins and my outs and the rivulets of my mind and whatever I do. As long as I'm relaxed, it's like you ever watch a fighter between rounds? How they jump, that move, and they're moving their hands, and they're jumping, and the trainers and the corner men are saying, trying to keep him relaxed, like, stay relaxed, Johnny, you know, blah, 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 to come in from his right when he's on the left, but stay, and they're always trying to stay loose, because the minute a fighter gets rigid and uptight, he's finished, he's going to get clobbered. It's the same with any art form. And this business that I'm in, by the way, is as much art form as anything else. So what I'm trying to say to you is, if I can remain fluid and lucid because of the gift that God has given me of a quick mind, great knowledge, super education, and a sonorous voice, I mean, you'll be there. And I don't intend to get angry anymore. I mean, I may once in a while, but as I say, women run away from loud noises. They've been brainwashed again by the pubic schools into thinking that men should sound like their girlfriends rather than men. And the minute a man sounds like a man, he's considered a threat. And, you know, that's why men are hated by their daughters today. The daughters have been brainwashed by the lesbian feminists to think that the father is bad, that they should have had a turkey baster for a father instead of an actual father, and they would have been better off with a plastic Thanksgiving turkey baster, for example. How about the Mel Allen ad? We have that one.
The drive hits the deep right field. That ball is going. It is gone.
How can you beat that? How can you beat this? How can you beat this? Just think 57 Eldorado convertible. Think about neighborhoods that you could leave Christmas packages wrapped up in the back of your car with the doors unlocked and go for a meal or go shopping and nobody would touch the packages. Just think of America. Play Mel Allen again for me. I want to hear it one more time.
The drive hits the deep right field. That ball is going. It is gone. Maris hitting his second homer of the day.
I just think little Savage is walking around with a polo shirt with a transistor radio glued to his ear. When I was so young that I actually thought baseball was interesting. Baseball to me is like gambling. You get addicted to it when you're about a 10 or 11, 9 through 11. You get a gambling addiction, they say. I've studied psychology on it. And then after age 11, anyone who's still addicted basically is stuck. They're infantile. They've never grown up. And it happens to a lot of people. But it's the same with sports. It's an infantile pastime. Unfortunately, we're an infantile nation, which is why men like John McCain would be sent to Bombay to tell them, don't fire a shot in anger, make certain you don't do anything, and make certain that you continue your gun control regulations in India so that more people could be slaughtered by the Islamo-fascists, who it turns out were high on cocaine and LSD and had been pumped up on steroids as they worked out in the Pakistani training camps to kill and torture. Now, your newspapers aren't reporting, of course, that the practitioners of the religion of peace who did this dastardly act, these dastardly acts in India, tortured many of their victims. All of the Jews had been tortured, but that shouldn't bother you. What's important is that you continue to talk about Gitmo and about Abu Ghraib, where there was no torture, as though it was real, just as Mayor Annie Tuscom Newsom talks about the flooding at San Francisco Bay as though it's real, when it's only a fantasy of potheads
Savage
who advise him.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
It is your favorite talk show, The Savage Nation, still going strong, signed a new deal. Things are going so well. We signed a new deal. We were doing great. We never did better. Contrary to what everyone would like to hear, I'm very bullish on radio and very bullish on the Savage Nation. In fact, more so than ever. That's why I'm relaxed. What am I going to get excited over right now? So as I say, we've gone from public school to pubic school in one generation. And the article is up on michaelsavage.com. Beneath it is an amazing, the x-ray factor, x-rays of keys in a person's brain, saws in their head from the Daily News. I couldn't believe it. I don't have the time to read it, but there's a great article by a man named John Walker on the right side of the website, Romans Also Tried Bailouts. You have to read it. It's too involved, you know what I'm saying? Mumbai police, blah, blah, blah. Where's the one about them using coke? He dropped that one already? That's the most important one, that the practitioners of hate. The practitioners of hate tortured the Jews before being executed. Yeah, sure. And that they used cocaine. They found cocaine and LSD in their system. Is that allowed? Are they allowed to use that stuff? I guess in the war against infidels, it's allowed. You're allowed to use cocaine and LSD and steroids. As long as it's for a good cause, you can use drugs like that before slaughtering the innocent. I see. That's how it works. Oh, are we in trouble with schmucks like John McCain going to India? Don't fire a shot, you. The people are dying for revenge, and they got John McShane going over there to tell him, don't fire a shot. Leave it to us. We know what's going on, yeah. By the way, there is a recession, as we know, and I learned it through, you know, Reality 101. Last night, for example, at 10 minutes to 9, I slipped into a little Italian restaurant in the suburbs. I like to go as late as I can when the kids are home. I can't eat around coloring books. I don't know what it is. If I see a Crayola, I leave the restaurant. That's the warning sign, is a Crayola, because I know what's coming, a lecture and how bright the child is. They always ask for lessons on the constant. I never heard anything like it. They're like schools. It's like Dr. Spock in a restaurant. I can't eat around it. So God bless children. I mean, I raised some, but we didn't bring coloring books and a Crayola to the... I get there 10 to 9, and I see that they're closing up, and I look around at the workers. You know, they're 99% Hispanic people, hardworking people, and you get a new appreciation for reality. Now, who's cooking the food? Who's cleaning the floor? Who's serving the tables? You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm not blind to reality. God bless them. They're good people. They work hard jobs. We're talking about getting rid of the deadbeat bums on welfare and the criminals. Let's split the pot in half here. You clean out the 30% of illegal aliens who constitute our prison population. You get rid of the bums on welfare. You cut off free medical care. And I'll tell you what, then you can give everybody else a citizenship, as far as I'm concerned, because no one else wants the job. So as I'm saying, I ordered dinner, and I was antsy already. I waited very late to eat, and the roads were beautiful. They were empty. I love to drive on a road when they're empty. You know, those lit up things in the middle that they like flit by. Everything was like perfect. I didn't have a drink or anything. I don't think I'm like I was high on it. Nothing. But just the empty road after Thanksgiving, the highway markers were lit up. It was like a runway. It was gorgeous. It was like driving on the tarmac rather than Highway 101 over the Golden Gate Bridge. So I pull off the road. I pull in. I go in. And I order a very simple dinner. Please give me the salad. Which one? Blah, blah, blah. I said, just no gorgonzola cheese, please. I don't even know what gorgonzola cheese is, but it smells like dog vomit, okay? I don't know why anyone would eat it. That's something only a Frenchman could enjoy. So I got that, and then I said, could you please make me well-cooked spaghetti, shrimp calamari, marinara sauce, no salt and pepper? Now, that's a very complicated order, by the way, for an average, you know, kind of run-of-the-mill restaurant. Because if you don't say no salt and pepper, your skin itches and you have high blood pressure from one meal. And she brings it out. It's perfect. Then I had two beers. I'm going to lay it out for a reason for you. The bill was $27. I gave her $40. I said, keep the change. She said, oh, thank you, senor, blah, blah, blah. I'm a very big tipper, by the way, particularly when people are nice. I gave her 50% of the bill. So she opens up to me like out of nowhere. And she says to me, oh, she says, I said, I'm surprised you're closing so early. She said, well, we used to be open till 10. Senor, now we close at 9. I said, why, business is down? Oh, she's very, very bad. I said, what do you mean it's down? She said, I used to make almost all my money, she said, in the 9 to 10 o'clock hour. She said, but now we're closed then because the people aren't coming. I said, oh, you mean the older people come between 9 and 10 after the Crayola crowd leaves. When the Ritalin crowd leaves, in come the real, you know, the people who want a peaceful meal. She didn't quite get it, but I'm a cynical guy, you know. So she said, yes, the older people come in. And she said, I used to, in my shift alone, she said, I would take in between $800 and $1,200. Not in tips now. You're talking about gross, what she'd sell. And so you figured the tips on 20%, she was making herself $200, $250 bucks a night on that, right? She says, now my gross is $300. I can't live on $50 a night. She says, I have three little ones at home. I said, it's terrible. I said, the economy is really hitting people. I mean, you know, you look at it from the point of view of a hardworking woman, immigrant woman, three babies, probably single mother. It's hitting her. People are not, you know, going out like they used to go out. So you say, well, where do you know where it's happening? You know what's happening there. You see the Chevy dealerships are gone. They're closing down. The way the police used to close down illicit bordellos in New York, they're closing down auto dealerships in America today. For different reasons, of course, but I'm making a gross comparison in two ways. And so if you are a waiter or a waitress or a taxi driver, other than Robert De Niro is putting out one stink bomb after another for the money, I don't blame him either. If you're foolish enough to go watch Al Pacino with false teeth, you know, and Ralph, whatever, De Niro's brother-in-law, Ralph De Niro, whatever is it, Ralph, what's his name? Ralph something or other? Hey, Ralphie. Ralph De Niro, whatever. I don't remember their names anymore. It's a blur. If you want to go watch them, good luck to you. But the point I'm making is that if you're a taxi driver or a waiter or waitress, I'd like you to call the show at 1-800-449-8255 and tell the people actually how you're being affected by the downturn in the economy, because you actually know what's going on. Although the crooks and the charlatans at the top pretend they care. They're just robbing you blind. That's all. And as it used to be said, all roads lead to Rome. Now, why was that saying all roads lead to Rome? Because the Romans were the greatest road builders of their time. Some of their roads still exist. And, of course, you have to change that today, which is that all roads lead to Nancy Pelosi. 1-800-449-8255, Palm Beach, Florida. Lynn, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, there's all the women out here. Do not run at your loud voice. I actually love it, the full range of emotion.
No, I can't get angry. I can't get angry, Lynn, because if I do, most women turn the show off. They get frightened. They want me to sound like a friendly father figure. So the father knows best. Someone who's had his prostate removed along with the surrounding appendages.
No, Mr. Savage, I love a man with a full range of emotions. If he can't get mad, forget it. And I loved it when you threw the television down the stairs.
that was a long time ago. That's when I came home from a horrible day trying to make a living when the kids were young. Came up the steps and they're glued to the TV and I say, "Hi, kids," not a word. Nothing, like I didn't walk through the door. So I tried it again. I went out the door. I said, I'll try. Came in again. "Hi, kids," not a word. I didn't say a word. I went and got the TV, picked it up, pulled it out of the wall, threw it down the steps. All right. I wouldn't do that today. I'm sure it traumatized them. But that was 150,000 years ago. You know, it was during the Jurassic. Lynn, I'm going to send you a copy of, what am I sending you?
Psychological Nudity.
Only if you tell me one story you can't wait to read for Christmas.
Well, that's one. And I wish you would have put the one in there when you said fun, 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 fun. Everything is fun, fun, fun. Should the dentist be going? Should you go to the dentist and have fun, fun? Should you go?
Oh, our society where everything has to be fun. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Fine. Like they used to tell the kids in college, they probably do today. Well, don't worry so much about a career. Don't get uptight over it. Find what's fun in your life and manifest that in a more professional, career-oriented manner, and you will find the path through life. You know, gives this kind of advice. I could just imagine what gives that kind of advice. The people who all right, you're getting the book anyway. Don't get me started here. Rock sluts pose naked following father's goose steps. That's on the bottom of michaelsavage.com. Not pornographic in any way, but it's sarcastic, which is not the same as pornographic. If you can... 1-800-449-8255, phone number michaelsavage.com, blah, blah, blah. What else do we got here? Anybody who likes me out there? Anything positive? Anything negative? "I was told to kill to my last breath," said one of the practitioners of the religion of peace. "I was told to kill to my last..." Who taught them this? Where did they learn to hate people like this? What kind of religious person teaches people to hate like this? And why are they permitted to operate in London? And why are they permitted to operate in America? Why are such hate preachers not rooted out by the FBI and thrown out by the FBI? Answer, because liberalism is a mental disorder. But if you think it's bad now, you're right. But if you think it's going to be worse later, you're even more right. Take a guess who Barack Obama has chosen to be the Secretary of Homeland Security. Janet Napolitano, a woman has purposely kept the border with Mexico open so that the trucks could keep on rolling. Las Vegas, Rick, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I want to talk to you about Janet Napolitano. You know, you won't hear this on the national news, and I looked for it for days. 4 years ago, on the border there, my wife and I were sitting at home, and we got the satellite, so we live in northern Arizona. We get our news, you know, from Phoenix. Well, one of the news jokers holds up a Muslim prayer rug. I kid you not. I had
no. Wait. In what context was the prayer rug held up?
Found on by one of the people who they were investigating the littering of the border. They were throwing their garbage down and running.
Oh, you mean that one of them left a prayer rug on his run over from the Middle East?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Okay? We looked for...
Oh, that's why they chose Janet Napolitano, to make sure that there are more prayer rugs on the way in.
Well, yeah. You know, how do you explain a Mexican bringing or leaving a Muslim prayer rug on our national border?
You explain it through common sense, which is that many Middle Easterners who have come here to commit acts of mayhem and terror have come in posing as Mexicans, shaving the beard, leaving a mustache, you know, taking on an assumed name. And here they are. They're sitting and waiting for their for the signal. That's all. But don't worry. You should sleep well at night knowing Janet Napolitano is protecting you. She's just the right ticket for Homeland Security.
You know, Obama kind of did us a backwards favor, and we got rid of that rock slug from our state. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to get another one.
Okay. Wait, who's the rock slug?
Janet Napolitano.
Oh, you mean he's taking her further up in the PETA principle.
Exactly.
In other words, the worst job you do as a governor, the higher you rise in the federal government. Well, that means Schwarzenegger might become president of Austria soon. He's doing such a wonderful job in California. Maybe you can go there. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger would probably have a wonderful career as a chef in a hotel chain making pastries. That's about what he looks like to me. Get about it. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm in a sweat already over nothing. Sacramento, Greg, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to
yes.
tell you how much I appreciate your monologues every day. And I wanted to make a suggestion to you. You should come out with another book, maybe a short story, maybe publish all of your favorite monologues. Much like
you know, we actually collected them over the last 2 years. Some of them are pretty amazing, and they do hold up over time. I've thought about it. It might not be a bad idea. You know, some of them are dated, but some of them are more universal and worth holding on to. I might do that as a small book.
Cool.
But have you gotten psychological nudity yet, Greg?
Not yet.
All right. We're going to send you one. Today I'm giving out Christmas presents on the Savage Nation. Anyone who calls and makes me feel good and tells me I'm great and wonderful or answers any question that I ask and makes me sound smarter than you are will get a copy. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun.
Oh, God.
Jingle bell, jingle bell.
Friend of a family, his father died, you know, over Thanksgiving. Terrible. Terrible, terrible. Here last week, gone tomorrow. Ashes in a jar. You don't know what to do. Just you don't know what to do. My son's freaked out because like five of his friend's fathers died last year. So he's like, he doesn't know what to do fast. I'm not dying. Stop asking me about it. I'm fine. He's like, five, 10 friends lost their fathers last year. Can you imagine that? Like the Grim Reaper came through. So naturally he wants to do every can for me. And I don't like the feeling. I said, do I look like I'm dying? Stop already. I'm not sick. I didn't smoke since I'm 25 years old. I smoked between like 18 and 25. And I remember bad cigarettes, English Ovals. I was trying to be very British in my broken Jaguars, you know. The whole outfit thing, you know, English Oval, the hands were yellow. All right, so it did damage. But maybe after all the vitamin E and vitamin... I had a recent x-ray. There's not a blemish on the lung. Nothing. The gut's clean. The lungs are clean. The arteries, I can't guarantee. That I can't guarantee. But all right, what are you going to do? You have to live your life day by day, and you have to make plans. You have to continue to make your intellectual plans. You're going to write another book. But what are you going to do? Are you going to live like you're going to be dead tomorrow? But it's sad. I mean, I don't want to divulge too much about this particular man. He was a wonderful man, and I shouldn't talk about it, but it's just spooky. The whole, everyone with the cremation. I'm not sure on this topic yet. I haven't resolved it in my own head. All I know is that for thousands of years, boxes and burials seem to have worked. Where'd this whole cremation come in? What are we, like dogs now? Did we pick up from the dogs that we get cremated and put in the jar? That the children don't know what to do with the ashes anyway? What, the children are too busy to go to the graveyard maybe? So they figure it's neater. I know a kid in London. His parents were wonderful, but they died 15 years ago. He's such a snot-nose, inherited a fortune. His parents were like a prince and a princess compared to him. He's a slug, never worked a day in his life, inherited millions of dollars, doesn't know what to do with himself. He wrote 3 novels no one reads, you know, calls himself a novelist, you know, the type San Francisco specializes in, the inheritance cases. They write novels that 300 friends throw in the garbage. But his parents' ashes are in the back of a closet. It's terrible. It's eerie. It's creepy. I don't get it. What's that all about? What's life all about? Joey, I mean, what is it? You know, you start to think, what is it? I mean, what is this thing with the ashes? And is it supposed to be a grave with people mourning forever? They do. I mean, religious figures, it's true, or thousands of years later, they remember a religious figure, some they go, they kill over it in Iraq. 1,000 years later, they're murdering each other, the Shiites and the Sunnis over. I don't know. 1,000 years later, someone disrespected a grave in the year 1013. You went near that guy. I'm going to wipe out your entire city. Your whole village is going to die. So, you know, you can't go that way. What's the whole thing? Then you get into the whole concept with the Eocene and the Pliocene and the Miocene and the Myobacterium, and then the, it doesn't make sense. It can swirl your head. I'll tell you the truth. I don't want to think anymore about it. But when the Grim Reaper comes visiting, you know, he comes around. You got to be careful. That scythe might hit you. But they say bad luck comes in threes. I knew that from a guy whose parents built Pan American Airways. The mother used to say that, I'm talking a very long time ago, she used to say that when there was a plane crash, there'd be another, and two, boom, she said there's going to be another one, and there was. There was. There was another one, usually a third. Then you took a flight. When you heard there were two, you didn't get on a plane. You waited for the third to go down, then you could. But I don't know about the scythe. It comes around. Now they're spooking me. Dad, you want to go on vacation? What is this? It's like the last trip? I don't have anything. I don't have cancer. Nothing happened. Leave me alone. They're taking me on a trip again. I had to put my foot down. I mean, God bless them. They love me dearly. In one day, we went to 14 places yesterday till I finally said, I'm not going anywhere. Go in good luck. Go in good health. I'm not going. I said, I wait all year for the winter. I love the cold. I love shivering at night. I love the cold air in the bedroom. I like to be wrapped up in 18 blankets with a cold head. No allergies. The pollen is gone. It's a perfect time of year. Why do I have to go to a tropical vacation now? The thought of it is a nightmare to me. I don't care if you give me a mansion on the ocean. I don't want to go there. I'm going to sit in air conditioning. The idea of stripping naked in front of strangers and putting on a bathing suit and going in an ocean is it's an anomaly to me. It is, doesn't make sense. It wasn't Savage. Done till the 19th century.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
Joe and Paul, let's start a fire kriegen, brabarilla Joe and Paul, that let your billy kriegen, brabarilla suit, a coat, a geet and zole perfect, a fair and tough here, kuiven, nor by Joe and Paul.
Oh. Oh, God. News of the day. Bong. So we're in a war for our survival. The enemy knows it, and apparently our leaders know nothing except how to rob us blind. The atrocities in Bombay have been swept under the rug by the MFT crowd. India was attacked, so it doesn't matter that so many hundreds were slaughtered and tortured, by the way. It didn't matter to any of them in the media that the murderers, the thugs from the practitioners of the religion of peace, by the way, and don't forget that part of it. It's an essential ingredient. It is true that 99% of the practitioners of the religion of peace are peaceful. But we're concerned about the 1% who aren't. And so far as I know, is it allowed to use cocaine and LSD, which is what was found in their blood, according to autopsies? Or is that that's allowed, I guess, when you're killing infidels, because that's God's work. And anything's allowed at that time. And there's no outrage in America, nothing. Instead, they send this witless moron, John McCain, to India to tell him not to strike back. You hear this? Not to strike back. Don't strike back. Don't do anything. Just make sure the people are disarmed. And here in America, we have MSNBC, MSLGBT, the Microsoft Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Network. And on the channel of MSLGBT, Alex Witless expresses shock and surprise that the terrorists would attack even after the mindless fools of America voted for Obama. She had the nerve to say that there had been such a global outpouring of affection, respect, and hope that these kinds of attacks would be dampened down. Well, that's because he wasn't an evil white male, and she thought that the Muslim terrorists would not attack us or our allies anymore. They'd be grateful that there wasn't a white male coming along, and that she was just shocked with her childish fantasies of what the world is like. And this is what passes for an anchor, MSNBC, so to speak. Listen to Alex Witless now, lamenting the fact that the election of Obama didn't stop terrorism on clip one.
There are many who had such an optimistic and hopeful opinion of things, and you certainly can't expect things to change on a dime overnight. But there are many who suggest that with the outgoing Bush administration and the incoming Obama administration, there would be something of a lull in terrorism attacks. There had been such a global outpouring of affection, respect, hope. With a new administration coming in, that precisely these kinds of attacks, it was thought, at least hoped, would be dampened down. But in this case, it looks like Barack Obama is getting a preview of things to come.
Oh, my God, Alex. That's shocking. I mean, I don't know what high school she went to. I can just imagine. But she, Annie Toussaint Newsom, the mayor in San Francisco, who shows a slide of a future where San Francisco's airport is underwater, and he says, "This is real, people. This is real life," whines Annie Toussaint Newsom, showing SFO underwater, not even realizing that the slide is fantasy created by some pothead who works for him. And he says, we have to get ready for the global warming that's going to flood the airports. Now, how does this happen that we have such nitwits in such high places? And by the way, the nitwit in San Francisco is actually going around thinking he's going to be governor. Here's a man who's supervising the greatest homicide epidemic in San Francisco's history. Here's a man who bet on the wrong side with regard to homosexual marriage, but he's going around continuing to shake hands as though he's going to be the next governor. Well, actually, he couldn't be any worse than Schwarzenegger in that regard. He may be perfect for the job. Who else would take it? Anybody could actually make a living wouldn't run for the office, number one, and anyone who was honest wouldn't run for the office. So it's a perfect job, frankly, for someone of this particular quality. What else was I going to say now before I got distracted? Go to my website and read it. That's all. 1-800-449. Oh, we have George Bush saying he was unprepared for war. Did you hear that one? That's an amazing story. Listen to clip 13.
I think, at least for my administration, I think they'd be surprised at how our team has worked so closely together. Some days we're not so happy, some days happy. Every day has been pretty joyous, though, that when you have a purpose in life, that no matter what it may look like from afar.
Please turn it off. I can't take it. Every time he starts to talk, till he finishes a sentence, I curl my toes inside my shoes. I ruin the instep of the shoe. Go to clip 13.
I think I was unprepared for war. In other words, I didn't campaign. I said, please vote for me. I'll be able to handle an attack. In other words, I didn't anticipate war.
No.
One of the things about the modern presidency is that the unexpected will happen.
Well, at least he's honest. He said he didn't campaign on his ability to handle an attack, and he was right about that. And he didn't anticipate war. See, it was like a play, though. He conducted the war as he went along, which is exactly what government does, by the way. They go with the flow. They go with the flow. McCain opposes military action against Pakistan. Influential U.S. Senator John McCain today opposed India launching military strikes against Pakistan in the wake of Mumbai attacks, saying, quote, there was no hard evidence yet for such action. And he would tell Islamabad to cooperate in the probe. No hard evidence. They rubber hosed the guy they caught, and he admitted he was trained in Pakistan. You schmuck, you! You idiot! You weren't elected because you're a loser, McCain. So now you want to tell India not to be like India? All I can say is, McCain, what you really should be telling him is don't go to a gunfight with a cane. Because the police in India have a cane, not a gun. And this is a direct result, of course, of disarming the citizenry. See, the brave Islamists, had they encountered an armed citizenry, wouldn't have gotten very far. They would have been killed, as some of the folks who have tried to conduct similar acts in America. And make no mistake about it, if you remember in Seattle, a Muslim tried to conduct such an act not a year ago. Do you remember that one? He tried to shoot people in a mall, but an off-duty cop killed him. You don't remember that one, do you? And the guy who tried to do it was then sent, if I'm not mistaken, to Albania for a hero's funeral. Do you remember that little story that was swept under the rug by the Alex Witlesses of the world? Make no mistake about it. The media is the problem. The media is why America has degenerated. All of these smiling empty skirts are the reason this country is dying. Make no mistake about it. They are the reason the country is dying. No other reason. Because a media is supposed to be a watchdog in a democracy. Not lapdogs. And when they're less than lapdogs, when they're drugged or stupid or both, they're worthless. They're less than worthless. They're dangerous. Dangerous. I read that in Latvia, a journalist was starting to talk about how the economy was being mismanaged. And so the Secret Service of Latvia visited the journalist's apartment, and they arrested him and questioned him for over 2 days. Because they said he was acting like an enemy of the state for commenting on how the economy was being mismanaged by the government's leaders. Now listen, wait, it gets worse. An American living in Latvia, some prominent moron, says, listen to this. I'm not usually a fan of totalitarianism, he said, but extreme times require extreme measures. There's your liberal for you. That's your liberalism at work. Extreme times require extreme measures. So, for example, any Tusum Newsom, Dianne Feinstein, Harry Reid, Barbara Boxer, Barack Obama want to put people like me off the radio. They don't want watchdogs. They want less than lapdogs. They want Alex Witlesses in the media to advance their simplistic criminal agendas, in my opinion. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Oh, yeah. We're all waiting for the Big Bang Theory to emerge during this administration. Now, of course, you know what I mean by the Big Bang Theory. That is the practitioners of this kind of holocaust upon civilization who are waiting for their signal, were told. How come before the election there was no green light, red light, yellow light about terrorism? Not a word, nothing. Now all of a sudden today we're told to expect a chemical or biological attack within the next 5 years. What, do they make this stuff up? We didn't hear a word about it since last year, because if they said it, then Schmuck McCain would have gotten elected. They said, all right, I'm not going to vote for this jerk. We'll vote for McCain. He's trustworthy, old white guy, flew airplanes, you know. All right, vote for him, the average schmucks, then go back to their shopping, whatever. Now, all of a sudden, a day later, now we're told by the geniuses in the intelligence communities, I know they're lying when they say that they gave India, they gave them warning. I don't believe a word of it. They're just covering their tracks because people are saying, we've spent billions of dollars, you got every device in the world, and you didn't see this coming. I said, oh, yeah, we told India. But they didn't do anything about it. I don't believe that. Why should I believe a word that the government media complex puts out? Why? I should believe a word? The same men who are mismanaging Wall Street, I'm going to believe that their cohorts in intelligence are any smarter? I listen to these guys on the news. They're the same Yaleys, the same mentality, the same geldings, the same mentality, the same don't do anything, the same don't fire a shot, the same fine accents, the same men of inaction. So I'm waiting for the Big Bang Theory. That's all. Then when it goes off, wait to see what they do. You think they're going to finally attack our enemy? They'll attack you. They'll go after you. They'll go after your weapons rather than go after the enemy. Then you're going to see terrible things happen in this country. Then you're going to see terrible things happen. When this incompetent group of morons, instead of going after our enemy now, by the way, taking the war to the enemy, which is what they should be doing now, the tribal areas of Western Pakistan should be obliterated from the earth. There shouldn't be a living ant left in there. Kill everything in the tribal areas, and then you'll have terrorism reduced to a supportable number. If they tell us Osama bin Laden's been hiding there, and if they tell us that these subhumans who did this were trained there, why aren't they obliterating it? What's all the military hardware for? For the military-industrial complex to make money? It appears to me that that's what it's all about, not to actually use the weapons. John, KNEW, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I wanted to tell you why my prediction is you're going to live way past your peers, and here's the reason. The way your mind works, and I know that you listen to your recordings, but, you know, you are one spontaneous improviser of the airwaves. In other words, you're like the Charlie Parker and the John Coltrane of our airwaves for today. You see things and you hear things and you speak things spontaneously that nobody else sees, and your heart is to get the people to wake up out of their drooling idiocy and get this country back to the quote that you put back in your book that talked about James Madison and the foundation of the commandments. Yeah. And the ability.
Well, you know, I love hearing this, but what does that have to do with longevity? That's what I'd like to know your connection here.
The connection is because that your mind is always active. I don't believe you have a dull moment or a dull thought process where all of a sudden you're just sitting and doing nothing.
No, I'm actually a depressive most of the time. Truthfully, I am so depressed at the world situation. I'm so depressed when I'm off the air thinking about the numbskulls who are running everything. I mean, what is my proof? Wall Street. What is my proof? Treasury Secretary. What is my proof? Chairman of the Fed. What is my proof? The incoming administration. What is my proof? Taking a moron like Janet Napolitano and putting her in Homeland Security. What is my proof? Doing nothing against the terrorists. My proof is that we're living in a very depressing time where we have absolute scoundrels and morons running everything. No, I get depressed. I get depressed for... I got to tell you something. If depression was harmful, and if depression killed, I would have been dead 30 years ago.
Right.
And I actually think depression, when it's based upon reality, is a very healthy emotion. I save my energy for this show, John. But let's go back to the main point, which is the point that you're making. Here's the thing. When I first started in radio, I had come through many different careers. This was the last career of my life, and it was quite by accident 15 years ago that I got into radio. I don't want to bore everybody with the details. But I was 50 years old at the time, John, and most men are retired by then, or they've gone through several careers. They've more or less moved to the next phase of getting ready for retirement. But there was fight in me. I wanted to continue to do something important in life. So here I am 15 years later. But when I started in radio, I didn't think I'd live about two, three years because of the intensity of radio. I could not believe what it took to do a three-hour show when I first started. And I thought that I would absolutely not live another 3 to 5 years because of the stress of this particular job. My diet changed. My exercise changed. I was a very fit guy before I started radio. And I started eating a lot of garbage that I wouldn't have eaten before because I needed the energy. My whole pattern of life changed because of radio because I needed the energy. I had to save it for the show. I became more like an opera singer in body rather than, let us say, like a lean runner, okay? And I had been very lean for a long period of time. But I had to get energy in that oven, into that furnace, in order to burn when I'm on the air, you know, John? But I figured it would clog my arteries, you know, cause an occlusion. Now, it could still happen. I'm not tempting fate here. But it's 15 years later, John, and it hasn't happened. Why is that?
You know, here's a great example. Think about the life of Moses. First 40 years, he's raised in Pharaoh's court. Next 40 years, he goes to Midian, has an encounter with God. His last 40 years become the greatest part of his entire life.
Well, maybe life begins at 80, and I have a long way to go till I hit 80. But the fact of the matter is there are people who live very long who do great things after the age of 70 even. There's no reason that a man has to stop working. Picasso did some pretty great work at 80, didn't he? Keep John on the line. Oh, I'm sorry. John was great. It's a Savage Nation. Oil's falling. Unbelievable. Oil's falling, falling. And our dear friends, the ingrates in Iraq are demanding $80 a barrel oil. You hear the ingrates, the fat slob. How come they're suffering over there? You ever see the beans on these guys? What do they eat, a lamb a day? It looks like they knock off a whole lamb a day, these guys. What a bean on them. They walk around with those, they're smart. They don't wear pants with a belt, you know, size 40. There's no such thing as a size to an Iraqi. They wear a cloak. They put on 20 pounds one night from eating a whole lamb. They lose 5 pounds from they miss a lamb. But my point is, if they have $700 billion in excess revenues from oil, we should get it. We the people. We liberated them with our money. A war is expensive. Why am I the only one saying this? Anyway, we're talking about longevity. And because my son's friends have lost their fathers, 10 of them have lost their fathers over the last year. He said 10 the other day. Freaked me out. He's here for Thanksgiving. Got me spooked. He says to me, you're okay, Dad. I said, what are you asking me okay? I feel fine. So I was talking about longevity, and a caller called up about he listened to the show, and he says, oh, you're going to do great because your mind is fast. So we're going to go back to John now on KDW. John, go ahead, please.
Yeah, and interestingly, you mentioned, you know, kind of a state of depression. But isn't that, you know, as far as that particular level, since there are so many levels on the depression ladder, I believe you're at the state where, you know, it allows you to think and analyze things all the time.
Well, and so, hold it. Now you hit the nail on it. I've been a long believer in sadness and depression as motivators for creation and action. In other words, if you suppress unhappy thoughts that are based on reality now, if you have unhappy thoughts or unhappy feelings based upon unreality, that's one thing. But if they're based upon the reality that we're living in, which is a country run by charlatans and fools in a time of terror and bankruptcy, if you're not depressed, you're a fool altogether. So it does give you a time to cogitate, so to speak. I mean, people cogitated for centuries over what was going on in order to come up with solutions, right?
Exactly. And you know, think about the great, you know, because myself being an international jazz musician, I spoke to you 2 years ago. And just because your mind, you know, you're always thinking about these things. And so your mind is always playing the music of the language that you speak.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head. You know, the last night, in the middle of the night, I was even dreaming about the show today and what I would say. I wasn't awake. And the words came to me, the actual monologue, and I was going to come out of the sleep and, you know, write it down, which I've done for years, by the way. I trained myself since I was a youngster, and I'll tell you why in a minute, that if a thought came up in your sleep, to try to drive yourself out of the sleep and take a note next to your bed. I didn't do it because I said, wait a minute, this is so embedded in my subconscious by now that I don't have to write it down because it's going to come out of me anyway. In other words, I reached that point where the music is going to come out of me once I pick up the horn, right?
Exactly. You don't think about it anymore. You just pick up the horn and you do it.
You know why I started doing that, John? When I was young, look how you're influenced by things. I remember hearing, you know, the parents would talk with awe and respect about certain individuals who had gone way beyond the ordinary within the realm of the family, okay? Some of them were in the class of geniuses, and it was very rare that some of them were. One of them was a younger man in another branch of the family that I hardly ever knew, and he was some type of engineer who went to MIT, which was very unusual unto itself, because this was a poor immigrant family, and usually the people didn't rise that far and get that far. But they said this guy, if his wife wanted to go to dinner one night, he would say, I can't go. Something came to me, and I have to sit and write it, and she'd understand it. It was so unheard of in a lower middle class bourgeois family for a guy to say no to a dinner date, for example, to stay home and write something that came to his mind, that I was shocked by it. And then they said later on, it was divulged, that he kept a notepad by his bed, you hear? And if he had ideas, he wrote them down. I thought that was a great idea. So, I mean, this is how a kid learns. He learns if he's tuned into those elements around him like that. He's going to learn from them.
That's right. And think about it. That's the whole thing. Think about the book you just wrote. I mean, it's all your whole history, which is the sum total of who you are today, and your best is yet to come. And I am so thankful that you re-signed the contract to keep the radio.
I really was thinking of leaving radio. I've been going through over 1 year of considering leaving it entirely, walking away, never being heard from again, honestly disappearing from the public eye. I've been through a terrible year being attacked and assailed by some illegitimate groups, some legitimate groups who were misled by Media Matters. But the fact was, it was a very rough year. But I'm still here. And the fact of the matter is, I'm stronger than ever. The show is stronger than ever. John, what kind of instrument do you play?
I play the cornet.
In a jazz band?
Yeah, I'm one of the only five cornet players that are playing.
Are you at liberty to divulge the name of your group or what your group is?
I'm sorry.
What are you? Would you have the desire to divulge the name of your group?
Well, I could do that. Yeah, I live here in Seattle.
No, I mean saying it could backfire on you since the arts are filled with psycho libs from Hades. They're liable to persecute you if you say that you like my show on the air. Maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah, I kind of have to be careful.
Yeah, be careful. Don't tell them that you actually have a thoughtful mind that loves to listen to this show. John, let me send you a copy of Psychological Nudity. I know of all people you'd love it. Thank you very much for calling, honest to God. I don't know whether it means anything or not. You know, the fact of the matter is this. Look, when it comes to longevity, who really knows? Who really knows when their number is up? You know, play Frankie Lane. That would have been a great cue. And when my number's up, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to live, 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 live until I die. Yeah. See if you can find that one. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. That's in Joshua, right in the Bible. It said, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And Joshua then writes, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. And here we have a schmuck like John McCain going to India to say, don't avenge yourself. You hear? What the Bible is saying here is that the earth stands still. Nothing moves until there's vengeance for an act of the kind that occurred in Bombay. That's what the Bible is telling you, that vengeance is part of the human condition. And without it, you are finished. Without vengeance, without revenge, you're finished. They'll wipe you off the planet. So we read right now, India demands Pakistan handover suspects. Government seeks 20 of the most wanted Islamic militants. That's what India is demanding. But we're sending over John McCain to tell him, no, you shouldn't seek that. Be PC. Be nice to your friends in Pakistan. So maybe they can next time wipe out the whole city altogether with a dirty bomb, you moron, you. If John McCain ran for the Senate in Arizona, I predict he would lose right now. Lose right now. Lose. They wouldn't even reelect him in Arizona. He's such a shame. But he's perfect now to be an emissary for Obama. He's just this kind of man, you know. One question that Indian leaders may well raise with Ms. Rice, she's still around, is why the U.S. expects India to take a measured and controlled response to the Mumbai attacks, given that the U.S. has had a policy for some time of launching direct military strikes against core members of Al-Qaeda in Pakistan's tribal areas. Some Western diplomats believe India could argue that it too should take similar action against terrorist groups within Pakistan, given the threat they pose to India's national... Of course! So India is demanding that Pakistan hand over the most wanted terrorists. And America is saying, no, Shah, oh, don't demand anything. No, no, don't do it. No, go slow. Let John McCain handle it. Leave it to the boys from Yale. Leave it to the eviscerated old men from America to tell you how to save yourself, you know? Did you find it yet? Still didn't find the song? I'm already scratching my skin off. You still didn't find it? I'm talking Frankie Lane, okay? You know the song? Till my number's up, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to live, live, live. You don't have that song. Oh, you're downloading it. All right. Well, the minute you find it in a couple of years, I'm going to take a call till you find it. Victoria in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage.
Yes.
Yes, sorry about that. Thank you so much for all the the work that you do, all your hard work, and thank you for being such an amazing voice. That's such a...
Do you know that the wave of terror that killed more than 400 people this year in India continued just yesterday, but the vermin in the media won't report it? Do you know that the vermin in the media are not reporting that a bomb was set off on a passenger train in Assam in India's northeast, killing 2 and injuring 20? Are you aware of the fact that the vermin, like MSNBC anchor Alex Witt, won't report things like this, that they're worthless and that they're the reason that terrorists are getting away with this because they're focusing us on garbage instead of on reality and the threats to our existential existence?
Absolutely. They're worried about what Paris Hilton is doing and not what really matters, you know?
So what made you call tonight? What's on your mind?
I'm a waiter in San Francisco, and I've actually seen my income shrink by half.
By half? Now, don't tell us the name. Is it a fancy or a midline restaurant?
It's an upscale fancy restaurant. I will not say the name.
No, I wouldn't expect you to. So there's fewer customers, or are they just tipping less, or both?
Both.
Oh, they have cut back on the tips.
Yes, considerably. Instead of getting, 20-30% like we're used to getting, it's now 15%, maybe 20%.
Oh, my God, they're skinflints.
Yes.
Well, I was in a Greasy Spoon Chinese yesterday that I swore off that I wouldn't go in. I swore off 2 months ago because the lips stuck together like with crazy glue. I said, I'm going to try the curry one more time So I went for the crazy goo instead of the crazy glue, but they finally did it right for me. So I, the meal was $10. I leave $2. I figured, it's a greasy spoon. I saw a guy at another table, and I know he's a guy who works in radio. I won't mention his name. I heard him leave coinage on the table. I couldn't believe it. Sounded like he left 35 cents. I think they're stiffing the waiters all over the country now.
Because of all the work that goes into actually serving someone.
Oh, it's a murderous job. I've been a waiter. I've been a busboy. I've been a lifeguard. I've been everything. So I got to tell you something. I left 50% last night in that place because I felt the woman did a great job. And what's it going to mean to me at the end of my life? You know what I'm saying? Meanwhile, she really appreciated it. But I want to go into something. I had the boat ride election eve night. I did it for a few friends and a few supporters. About 110 people on a boat ride on the bay. So my son gave a speech, which was very interesting. It was about tipping. Listen to this. Because I said that I made him work when he was 14 in Wendy's. I didn't. He had to take a bus for an hour to take a job in a hamburger stand. And I said, I made my son work in Wendy's. And he said he was ashamed that he worked there because none of his friends had to work over here in Rich Boy County. Of course, he did better than all of them put together. And he says it's because his father, meaning me, gave him a work ethic and, made him go to work. So he said when he was a kid working in Wendy's, he was at the counter once. He must have been 14, 15 years old. And a guy drove by in a new car and he left him a tip, whatever the change was, 25 cents. And he said it was so amazing that somebody would tip him in a fast food restaurant that he was only a kid. He said, but that 25 cents stuck with him his whole life. He says, as a result, he always tips in fast food restaurants now because the people are so poor, they really appreciate it. And the truth is, I tip in the same way when I go through a fast food or even a loaf of bread. I see the people working. I'll leave them whatever, a few coins, even on a dollar bill. Why? Because it means more to them than it means to me. But it just shows you what people can learn from hard work, Victoria. And I think that's the problem in San Francisco. Many of the people who come to your upscale restaurant really have not worked that hard in their life. They don't know what it is to be a waiter or a waitress. And they figure you're not going to know anyway, and what can you do about it? I mean, that's what's going on, isn't it?
It's absolutely true. And
well, I'm sorry to hear it. Are you looking for a job as a producer, driver, personal assistant? What are you looking for?
I think I'm going to stick with this for a while. And
I'm joking. All right, stay on the line, Victoria. You get a Christmas present coming out to you leaving Florida tomorrow from the Fulfillment House. And that is a Christmas present called Psychological Nudity. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I was reading, I told you I can't sleep since the Bombay attacks and the torture, and I read that these animals were on cocaine and LSD, according to the autopsies, and I read that they want to seek revenge. And John McCain and Condoleezza Rice, these fools are telling him, don't seek revenge. So I go to the Bible in Exodus about an eye for an eye, and I want to read it to you because it's very important that you hear it. There are things in the Bible that you should remember are biblically, well, I'm not a biblical absolutist, absolutely not. However, there are things in the Bible that are worthy of remembering, okay, many things in the Bible. You don't throw out the entire book because of some barbaric statements in the book, okay? You have to understand the time in which they're written. But in Exodus 22:4, it says, but if any harm follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And I say nuke them. I say nuke the tribal regions, tactical nuclear strike, annihilate it from the planet, wipe out Osama bin Laden and all of his cohorts, collapse the mountain range if you have to. But for God's sakes, what in the heck are they thinking? Don't strike back. I say to myself in the middle of the night before I come on the radio, whoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Oh, that's passe in San Francisco. In fact, I'm sure now that gay marriage is all the norm. Marrying a beast shall come up surely to show how liberal they really can be. I'm sure that any Tusum Newsom in a year or two, if he's governor, God forbid, will now officiate at a marriage between a man and a beast, let's say a donkey or something like that, or a deer or a sheep. And then, of course, it will all go full circle. A man marries sheep in San Francisco will become the norm. And anyone who opposes it will be considered sheepist or sheepish, I guess. I don't know what they'll call it. Virginia Beach, Chris, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you for being on the radio, and thank you for being my Prozac. liberalism is a mental disorder, and the USA is weak and vulnerable.
Yes.
I don't know how we ended up this way.
It was a slow course to begin with the hippie 60s. And now the very same vermin who claimed they were anti-establishment, now that these sub-morons and these charlatans and thieves are the establishment, they're acting like Nazi fascists. And if they're not stopped, they'll turn us into a totalitarian state.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it interesting that the so-called progressive, peace sign-loving hippies turn out to be fascists? The minute they're given a touch of power, they want to be the very things they claim they weren't. They weren't against the establishment. They were just jealous that they weren't.
Why do you think that is?
Because they wanted power. That's all they ever wanted. Now that you got these charlatans and these idiots running everything, look what they're doing to the economy. Look how they're robbing the treasury blind. Look how they're conducting the greatest thievery in the history of the world in plain view, and they don't go to prison. Look how they won't even let India act against the Islamists who just conducted this massacre in their own country. They send this charlatan, this old creep, McCain over there, this failure, this flop, this clown, this Clarabelle to tell him don't do anything.
Yeah,
why?
Sure.
We're a crippled nation. We're crippled. Just crippled. So you're a cab driver over there or what?
Well, actually, I'm a police officer, and I have to drive a cab at night to make ends meet because I'm just not making ends meet with a wife.
They don't pay you enough in Virginia Beach to pay you enough as a cop?
No, sir.
What do they pay you there?
Right at about the mid-30s.
Oh, my God. You have to risk your life for the mid-30s? You're right in the middle of a drug transit highway, runs right through your city.
That's right.
Right. You have to risk with a traffic stop getting killed for $30,000 a year. You really have to be dedicated to do that job. And on top of it all, you got all of the perverts in the ACLU that, God forbid, you should actually take down a drug dealer. They'll go after you instead of them. That's what I mean about why I'm anguished and depressed over a country like this, that we'd fall into a sewer like this, a sewer pipe. Take a look at the MSNBC. You heard what I've been playing, the Alex Witless, or the moron here in San Francisco saying he wants to get out of the power plant business. Where's he going to get his energy from? Chris, I'm sending you Psychological Nudity. I'm going to play I'm Going to Live Until I Die by Frankie Lane on the way out the door in this.
I'm gonna laugh until I cry. I'm gonna take the town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live until I die. They're gonna say,
that's it, Frankie. Mule Train. They all die young, these guys. That's what worries me. 50, 52, top, blowout.
I'm gonna live, live.
Roadkill, 52, boom, in the box. Maybe it was, they probably used a lot of alcohol, drugs, and a lot of women. So who knows? Let it all hang out, you wind up in the box earlier. Constraint, suffering, that's what keeps you alive. Suffering and constraint, keeping the it under control. Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take the town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live, live, live till I die. They're gonna say, what a guy. I'm gonna play for the sky.
Hello.
Ain't gonna miss a thing. I'm gonna have my fling.
Well, thank you.
I'm gonna live, live, live till I die. The blues will lay low.
It is Frankie Lane. I'm gonna live until I die on the Savage Nation.
Over my head. I'll be a devil.
I want to just hear him do I'm going to live until I die, and then I'll go on already.
Until then,
here we go. One more refrain.
Hallelujah, gonna dance, gonna fly. I'll take
that's
a
enough
chance,
already. Not gonna, I'm not in the mood already. By the time I play it, my mind is so flexible. By the time the song comes up, it's no longer good. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Here we are. How are you? 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 All roads lead to Pelosi. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. I got so much I want to say that I'm going to say nothing. I'm going to let you talk for a while. If you missed the first 2 hours, I suggest you listen to the next hour replay because it was so good. I can't top it. And there's no point in redoing it. You'll have to listen and catch it because I did such stuff with MSLGBT and Alex Witless and Annie Tusum Newsom that it's going to live in infamy. Live in infamy amongst the literati of the left who are going to detest the fact that I'm right again. But if you want to know what's going on, the latest results on the runoff election in Georgia are very good for those of us who believe in borders, language, and culture. The Georgia Senate rerun or re-election results, our Republican got 192,000 votes to the Democrat 95,000. So they save the Senate seat over there. And that's a very good thing if you like none borders, none language, and none culture. And in other words, what's the big difference here? I don't know. I really don't know the difference anymore. What, there's a big difference here? Democrat light versus Democrat? I mean, what's the big choice here? India demands Pakistan turn over 20 of the most wanted militants, meaning terrorists, meaning murderers. And John McCain is over there on a mercy mission saying, don't do anything, don't act, don't fire a shot, leave it to us, we'll send aid, we'll send tanks, we'll send howitzers, we'll send planes, but God forbid you should ever use them, then we'll take back the planes, the tanks, and the howitzers. Don't you dare use any of the weapons we send, because the object is not for you to use the weapons we send, but to buy the weapons we send in order to keep the munitions manufacturers going. Don't you dare ever use one of them. Because if you use one of them, then you're going to make us look like the weaklings we are. Since we don't use any of the weapons we have the 6th Fleet, 7th Fleet, 8th Fleet, 9th Fleet. But when a rubber boat approaches, the Admiral goes screeching below for his pink tutu. And radios back to Tallahassee, oh, hey, what should we do? Don't do anything, don't do anything, don't do anything. SOS, attention 7th Fleet. Don't do anything. Don't set off anything. Come back for retraining. Don't do anything. Invite them aboard for a cup of mint tea. And just yesterday, the Islamo-fascists set off another bomb in India, in another city, But your witless fools in the media didn't tell you about it. They're ready. It's over to them. Under the rug. Gone. Don't do anything. Don't use any of the weapons. That's all. So is it any wonder I wake up in the middle of the night? I have a skin condition from this. Like Moses. My skin is breaking out from anxiety. Horrible. I want revenge. I want to see the western provinces. I want to see that entire area. I want it gone. I want it off the planet. I want every living thing dead. I want even the desert mice to be dead. And then I know that we can sleep well at night. But unless we strike back, unless we not only encourage India, but aid India in striking these tribal regions, you should not sleep well at night unless you're a darn fool. Absolute fool like the mayor of San Francisco sits and talks about. He shows a slide during his 7-hour State of the City address, Eddie Tusum Newsom. I saw it. I was scanning TV. And he shows a slide of the San Francisco airport underwater, and he says, this is how the city's going to be because of global warming, and we better act now. And then he has to say, the nerve to say, listen, people, this is real life. It's not real life. It's a slide created by an alarmist on marijuana given to him based upon the fraudulent data of Al Gore, and this fool is up there saying we got to change our entire life cycle according to this. Listen to clip 4.
Here's a horrific slide. This is the airport underwater, and this is the baseline expectations of water and sea level rise in this region and what it would do for the areas, the lower areas around the bay. This is real life. And we need to take it seriously. We need to start investing today in adaptation strategies. And this is something you're going to hear a lot more about into the new year.
Listen, Newsom, let me tell you something. I don't think you've ever been on San Francisco Bay. I know you're a native son and the mayor and you want to be governor. My guess is you've never been on the bay in a rowboat. My suggestion is that you, before you shoot your mouth off about things you know nothing about because you lack science education, I doubt that you have even a fifth grader's knowledge of science, Newsom. I know you look good in the suit and you speak well, and people are impressed with you, particularly if they believe in your philosophy. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think you know anything about San Francisco Bay, Newsom. I suggest you go out in the bay and you look at a tide chart. You know what a tide chart is, Gavin? If you look at a tide chart, you will see that there's not been 1 centimeter change in the levels of water in San Francisco Bay ever, so far as we know, going back to the Eocene. So, Gavin, you're an alarmist, you're an uneducated man when it comes to science, and you are so empty of knowledge and of substance that you are made for your job, which is that of a politician, a man who knows nothing and speaks about things he knows nothing of, only to run for higher office. But you see, Gavin, we are living in an age of terror, as Bombay will show you. And men like you are actually a danger to the survival of the earth and everything on it, Gavin. That's my lesson to you, Gavin. For the sake of humanity, if you have even a shred of the decency in your family, if you have even a shred of the decency of the Catholic education you had growing up, you would resign from office immediately and take the cloth. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. There's plenty of news out there in the runoff election in Atlanta, in Georgia. Saxby Chambliss is leading after 20% of the votes have been counted in the runoff election. We're real lopsided against the Dems. You say, how could that be if the Democrats did so well? Why all of a sudden is 65-35 Republican? I'll let you figure out about Acorn and the illegitimate voters who didn't need to come out for this one. They already got their bottle of brandy. In Oslo, more than 100 countries will sign an international treaty banning cluster mines. You hear this? So, in other words, although we're a small country proportionate to enemies, potential enemies, such as China, which outnumbers our population by a grand total, where cluster mines would be one of the only defenses in a surge against our troops. Ask anyone who fought in Korea what I'm talking about Chinese troops coming over the hill, swarming against American troops, where only cluster mines could save our boys. The liberal morons want to make sure that there are no more cluster mines because it would make Lady Diana feel better in the grave. It is also International Day of Disabled Persons. court-martial scheduled in Los Angeles with Sergeant Jermaine Nelson, who was accused of killing an Iraqi detainee in Fallujah. Never mind how many Marines were killed in Fallujah. Never mind how many contractors were hung from bridges in Fallujah. Just remember that George Bush, who's rewriting his legacy by the day with help from the empty suits in the media, is persecuting U.S. Marines to this day. In Los Angeles, Fugitive Director Polanski asks L.A. to drop child sex charge from 1978. Oscar-winning director Roman Polanski has filed a request to have child molestation charges dismissed in California. If you remember, he did Chinatown, blah, blah, blah. He pled guilty in Los Angeles to unlawful sexual intercourse with a 13-year-old girl. Now, of course, he did that before Ruth Bader Ginsburg was on the Supreme Court. And he had to flee to France before sentencing. And he's lived there ever since and obtained French citizenship. Of course, that's where he belongs, having molested a 13-year-old girl, because there it's a norm. There's no reason for him to come back here. That's where you can still molest 13-year-old girls. But nevertheless, he wants it wiped off the books. If you remember, Polanski was married to actress Sharon Tate. She was 8.5 months pregnant when she and four others were butchered in 1969 by followers of Charles Manson. Charles Manson. There's more to this. I don't want to read it. I'm bored of him. I'm bored of his whole story. You know, he did one good movie, by the way, Knife in the Water. No one knows that. That was an art film he did when he was young. Chinatown was pretty good. Jack Nicholson with the nose and Rosemary's Baby I didn't really like. The Pianist I didn't like. But if you ever watch Knife in the Water, if you're a film buff, that was a really fabulous movie in black and white. But that was the age of very slow-moving, like, movies that you had to see in art theaters. Like, if you try to be, if you thought you were different from your friends who went to the big blockbuster, but you were like the kind of guy who was like, listened to classical music and they thought you're a weirdo, so you didn't go with them. You went to like art theaters and watched Knife in the Water and they thought you were a nut because you wore raincoats with the collar up. Headline, feds charge 15 law enforcement officers with corruption. They were protecting drug dealers. I can't find that story. I was looking for it in USA Today. Here it is. Got it. FBI agents arrested more than a dozen people this morning in connection with a police corruption investigation, according to reports from Chicago, my hometown. Chicago Tribune says agents nabbed 10 corrections officers and 5 police officers, along with 2 civilians, in a sweeping federal drug case that accuses the law enforcement officers of working security in sting cocaine and heroin transactions. Hey, it's Chicago, man! What do you mean, working security for the drug dealer? It's Chicago. Update, 2:40. Officers allegedly were paid up to $4,000 each as they served as lookouts and prepared to step in if law enforcement cracked down on the operations, authority said. The undercover investigation run by the FBI allegedly saw officers protecting poker games and transporting cash. 2 of the officers are accused of selling powder cocaine and all are charged with conspiracy to possess and sell drugs. In Chicago, my hometown. It's Obama's hometown. I mean, come on. Couldn't happen there. Thing like that couldn't happen. Corrupt cops in Chicago? Don't be crazy. Clean town. Oh, yeah. I can't read this anymore. Emaciated teen bursts into gym with chain on ankle, says he escaped captors. A missing teen ended up inside a Tracy gym wearing only his boxers and a heavy ankle chain. Oh, God, how can this happen? How could this happen? I don't understand this. The 17-year-old said he'd been kidnapped, had visible cuts and burns on his back, was described. I don't want to read anymore. What kind of depraved world do we live in? What kind of depraved world is it with people in chains and basements? Basements, chains. It never happened in my time. How did this happen? It's like a deranged madhouse. And all the news wants to report is not the murderers in Bombay and the murderers and the slaughters in Pakistan, rather. They want to tell you about this slut and her girlfriend. What are they going to do next? They're going to show up with a donkey and say, this is my boyfriend? Because everybody's a lesbian now, so they have to top him? Madonna, the old slut, has to now show up with a donkey and say, this is my new husband, because everyone's a lesbian, I have to top him now? I'm a 60-year-old with a donkey who I'm marrying? That's what the media will report on. But it happened because of people like Alex Witless on MSLGBT. Do you understand that? It's because of people like Alex Witless on MSL. Forget about it. I can't even say it. It's not even funny anymore. Because of mayors like Annie Toussaint Newsom, they can get away with it. Because they actually think that the parallel universe they live in, the world of the government media complex, is real. So you can get a clueless mayor like Newsom who thinks he's beautiful because he looks in the mirror and says, I am beautiful. And people say, you are beautiful. Contract, please. So he starts to think he's beautiful and knows everything. Then he shows a slide of SFO underwater, and he says, this is what's going to happen, people, and this is real life when global warming finally does it. When in fact, it isn't real life. The bay's tides in a tide book, if you look at them, the height, I have a house near the water, I'm a boater. There hasn't been a centimeter of change in the level of water in San Francisco Bay, like forever. I'm talking in modern history. Not a change. They can predict tides within an inch. But I don't think this man has ever been on a rowboat in San Francisco Bay. Imagine that most of the politicians, incidentally, in San Francisco, I can guarantee you Barbara Box has never been on a boat in the Bay. I can guarantee it. She knows nothing about the Bay, but she's from the Bay Area. Or Dianne Feinstein, another great, great representative of the Bay Area. Guarantee you she hasn't ever been in a boat. Mayor Newsom, I bet you $50 he's never been on the Bay. $50, I guarantee you, never been on the water. But they're experts on tides and water and global warming, and it's going to go up, and the airport's going to be underwater, and we got to move the airport now into Brisbane, and we got to shut down the power plants because we got to get out of the power plant business, and we're going to make San Francisco a green city, more green than ever. It's going to be so green that we're going to go broke making it so green. We're so green there won't be any green, but we know what we're doing, and I know so much about what I'm doing. There's a homicide epidemic. And then now I want to be governor. I've done such a good job raising the level of homicide in San Francisco that I want to bring that to the state. So that's what I'm saying. That's the world. Military divorce rate rises. That's the headline in USA Today that just came up. Why? Because they can show the military is no good. Everything else they hide. Anything bad about the enemy, they hide. And anything good about our troops, they glorify. U.S. official says we warned India about a plot. I don't believe it. India received a warning from the U.S. that militants were plotting a waterborne assault. Militants? You mean radical Islamists? A senior U.S. official said, yeah, okay, that's like Izvesti or Pravda. They got caught with their pants down. They were so busy checking the PC book on how to do nothing that they didn't know what was coming. Now they're okay, we've got to cover it up now. Who warned them? What U.S. official? What senior U.S. official? That's an oxymoron, senior U.S. official. What you? A Bush administration official speaking condition of anonymity. Yeah, right, okay. Because of the sensitive nature of intelligence information. Don't you love that one? Oh, yeah, listen. I can't give you my name, okay? And I can't tell you how we know this, but believe me, we told them, Indians. Cut out the chapati and... U.S. passed on information to India about a potential attack on Mumbai from its long waterfront. Oh, yeah, right. You really knew everything. But now that India wants to crack down, you tell them not to do it. That's how smart you are. Stand down. Stand down, and 6 fleet, 7 fleet, 8 fleet, 9 fleet, all circling, burning up millions of gallons of gas, and don't fire a shot. A rubber boat shows up, a pirate ship shows up, run in a high down below with your tutu, and see if you can get someone from National Security Agency tell you what to do next. You useless idiots, you.
Savage.
Viva USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
That was the day, Dinah Shore, when there were Chevrolets. Now it's all over. Who wants to see the USA number one and in a Chevrolet number two?
Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today to see the USA.
It was a different world. You had faith in the government. You had faith in the priest, the rabbi, the doctor, you had faith. Now, of course, there were bad apples then, but by and large, you had a country that you had faith in. Look what we have today. You have people in the media who tell outright lies and live in a fantasy world. Witness Alex Witless on MSLGBT, who actually believed that there would be no more terrorism once Obama was elected because the Muslim fanatics would be happy that there's no longer the white male and blah, blah, blah. I couldn't believe this. Did you hear this story I'm telling about on the show today? Alex Witless on MSLGBT. That she was shocked. She said this on the air, that the election of Obama didn't stop terrorism. I want you to play it again, clip one. You're not going to believe this. You got to listen to this. This should go down in the infamy of stupidity in the media. Listen.
Well,
There are many who had such an optimistic and hopeful opinion of things, and you certainly can't expect things to change on a dime overnight. But there are many who suggest that with the outgoing Bush administration and the incoming Obama administration, there would be something of a lull in terrorism attacks. There had been such a global outpouring of affection, respect, hope with the new administration coming in that precisely these kinds of attacks, it was thought, at least hoped, would be dampered down. But in this case, it looks like Barack Obama is getting a preview of things to come.
Now, wait, it gets even better. Now, John Yang responds to our clip, too.
It's a rude awakening, a very sort of sober reminder of what he's going to be facing in just a few weeks. And there is some concern also, there had been some concern that during this period, during this the transition period between Election Day and Inauguration Day, that the enemies of the United States, those who don't care for the United States, no matter who is leading it, would try and test the United States, would try to take advantage of this period. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that may be one thing that we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. John Yang there in Chicago following President-elect Barack Obama's Thanksgiving Day dinner, having been interrupted by all this news from Mumbai. John, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. That was the main thing, is that Obama's dinner was interrupted by the bad news from Mumbai. Uh-huh. Now, of course, the bad boys who did it killed indiscriminately. They killed Muslims. They killed Jews. They killed Hindus. Actually, they didn't kill Muslims if they could avoid it. When one couple had been captured, said that they were from Turkey and Muslims, the practitioners of the religion of peace let them go. You don't, of course, get it in the newspaper, but it came out today from autopsies that the bodies had been tortured. In fact, tortured beyond recognition. In fact, defiled in a way that we don't even want to report here on the Savage Nation. We don't want to share any of that with you because it's liable to upset your belief in global warming and things of that nature. We don't want to shock you into reality because that would be a terrible thing to do. That would upset your entire reality if you understood that you're mentally deranged. But wait, it gets worse. Today, Defense Secretary Robert Gates is interviewed again on MSLGBT. That's their favorite channel now. They go to the soft channels where there's not even a semblance of journalism, not even a semblance. And they ask Robert Gates a few questions. And one of them is, he makes believe he doesn't know who actually perpetrated this horrible atrocity. And now, I want clip 9, not clip 8. Play 9.
It clearly was the action of an extremist group that apparently was targeting Americans and Britons. But the truth is, most of the people who were killed were Indians. So it's important that we find out who did it and
wait,
try and prevent
it's important that you find out who did it? The guy confessed. They caught him when he was running away. What do you mean? He told you he was trained in Pakistan. They found that the bodies of the killers were filled with cocaine, LSD, and steroids because they've been working out in the training camps of Pakistan, pumping up their bodies like our prisoners do in jail, so they could continue to conduct mayhem. And they were high on cocaine for 60 hours, so they could continue fighting and killing innocent people, and LSD, so they can commit atrocities. And you say you don't know who did it? This is chilling. It's just chilling to believe that our defense secretary has fallen to this level. But now you understand why they would go on MSLGBT, because they wouldn't get caught saying a thing like this. The job of the media is to say, wait a minute, secretary, defense secretary, with all due respect, we know who did it. The Indians captured him. He admitted it. Why are you going over who did it? It's a radical Muslim. Why are you going over that, defense secretary? Your job is to protect us, not to double talk us like the liberal media. But no, they are the liberal media. That's why I, in 1998, gave a great speech in the Commonwealth Club called Beware the Government Media Complex, one of the great speeches of all time in the history of the media. Completely suppressed, which I'll tell you about another day. Let's go to the callers. Any topic is fair game. Here are some of the other stories on michaelsavage.com. Oh, from public school to pubic school in one generation. That's to show you why we are where we are. Instead of teaching people how to read, how to write and do math, they teach them about their pubic issues. That's all I teach them about from the first grade on. Once the perverts got control of the educational system, it was all over. Then everything was twisted around the pubic rather than the public. Instead of being interested in the public and the public good, it was about the pubic good. Pakistan TV just came out with a report saying that the attack was hatched by Hindu Zionists. I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. I told you that the psychopathic radical Muslims would say this, that the Jews who were found bound and tortured did it to themselves in order to bring sympathy to Israel. That's right. That's the kind of enemy we're facing in Pakistan. So now I'm going to amend what I said. Not only should we take the tribal areas and wipe them off the planet, I would say we should err a little bit, you know, a little bit further, let's say, a little bit more. Mumbai's terrorist attack was actually a plan hatched by Hindu Zionists and Western Zionists, according to the Mossad. Including the Mossad, said a self-styled Pakistan security expert on a Pakistan news show. That's our ally that we give billions of dollars to. You hear this? A Hindu Zionist did it. There's no words I have right now, so I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to say a word. By the way, the people were tortured before being executed, particularly the Jews. Terrorists took cocaine to stay awake during assaults. It's a very important story for those of you who think that you know something about the enemy. You know nothing about anything. If you think that there's global warming and that San Francisco airport's about to go underwater, as the mayor of the city does, you're a danger. You're a clear and present danger, not only to yourself, but everybody around you. Terrorists took cocaine to stay awake during assault. Run a cocaine and other stimulants. Now read the whole story. It's at telegraph.uk, on michaelsavage.com. Officials found drug paraphernalia, including syringes. Well, that goes right in keeping with the mayor of San Francisco, because they believe in fresh syringes. Maybe they would have supplied syringes to the terrorists in order to make sure they didn't get an infection. The heavily built men who undergone training at a special marine camp established by the Lashkar-e-Taiba terrorist group in Pakistan also used steroids to build a tougher physique. We found injections containing traces of cocaine and LSD left behind by the terrorists and later found drugs in their blood, said one official. Why don't you read the whole story? There was also evidence of steroids, which isn't uncommon in terrorists. These men were all toned, suggesting they had been doing some heavy training for the attacks. This explains why they managed to battle the commandos for over 50 hours with no food or sleep. One terrorist used the drugs to keep on fighting despite suffering a life-threatening injury. But there's another element in this horrendous atrocity that was committed, or series of atrocities. And that is that they tortured the Jews before killing them. It's one of the most important stories of all that's being suppressed by the vermin in the media, by the listless fools in the media who want you to believe that Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo are places where actual torture occurred when they are not. They're places where real interrogation took place to prevent future terrorist attacks. Real torture is what was done to the people in Bombay. That's real torture, but they don't focus on that because they're liable to confuse you. You should also know that the Indian police don't have guns. They have canes, bamboo canes, a holdover from colonial times. And there's one rule you should know. Never bring a cane to a gunfight or you will lose. In fact, the reason this occurred is because the citizenry of Bombay is unarmed, disarmed. I want you to understand that if even half of the people in those hotel rooms had pistols, this could have been over very rapidly. Because as the drugged up, cowardly terrorist banged on the door, you look through the people and you see a guy out there who wants to come in and kill you. What you do is you get ready and you get the drop on him and you open the door from the side and you kill him. And if half the people had done that, this would have been over. So tell that to Nancy Pelosi. Tell that to the gun grabbers. Tell that to everybody who wants to disarm you, because it's coming to this country as sure as I'm sitting here in front of this microphone. And you're going to have to fight the government when they try it. Just as I'm going to fight when they try to take away my microphone, we're going to have to fight this government verbally, legally, and every other way that's legal to stop them from turning us into a terror camp. 1-800-449-8255. I also asked callers to call the show if they are waiters or waitresses and their tips are down, to discuss this, because I've noticed the tips are, the waitresses and waiters are really in bad shape here in the Bay Area. Now that the libs have less money, they're taking it out on the waiter. They still may go into the restaurant, but they're stiffing the waiter. They're giving them 15% instead of 25%. And so the waiters are in trouble. I told you that, and I'm getting callers on that as well. And so I want to get some calls on various topics. I'll go to Regina in San Francisco on KNEW. Regina, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I know this probably doesn't have anything to do with what you're talking about, but I am a liberal from San Francisco. And, I mean, I know I don't agree with you almost ever, but I have to acknowledge you are the most talented storyteller I have ever heard in my life. And I listen to you every day.
Well, let me ask you something. You say you're a liberal, and you say you don't agree with anything I say, but you like my stories. What is it about my view in fighting the terrorists that you disagree with? How would you fight them, the people who just did this in Bombay? What would you suggest?
Well, I mean, I agree with you about 89%, and when it comes
to... Oh, well, you just said you don't agree with me at all, so maybe I'm a liberal if you don't disagree with me.
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, I agree with you with you know, when you talk about terrorism, I agree with you when you talk about...
All right,
about-
let's not quibble over it, as long as you enjoy listening to my stories. Which story do you like the best?
I mean, you don't say this very often, but the one time that I did catch you saying it was a story about your brother, and I mean, it made me incredibly just sad.
Yeah, I don't even want to go into it. It's too sad, frankly. My Silent Brother, it's in Psychological Nudity. So, Regina, I'm going to send you a copy of Psychological Nudity so you can read that whole story and perhaps pass it on to others who have been misinformed about who Michael Savage actually is and, of course, took the bait from George Soros and Media Matters in order to destroy me. But at the end of the day, I'm still here, and the battle isn't over yet. That's all I can tell you. Stay on the line. That's all. Houston, Texas. Bridget, you're on the Savage Nation. Bridget, what's going on down in Houston?
Hey, Dr. Savage. Not much. I was a waiter about 6 months ago, and I had to quit because I was making no money.
It did die down from the recession?
Yeah.
That's sad. So what are you doing now?
Actually, I got a pretty good break, and I'm a human resources intern at an oil company.
You know what? You went where the money. At least you went where the money is. That was smart. They've never had it so good under George Bush. They're raking it in with the harvesters.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Yeah. No control over them. No, they never had it so good. The Six Sisters. They control the price of oil. Of course, things went down now, you know.
Yeah.
Things went down in oil. It's for $40-something dollars a barrel. How'd that happen? It's a pleasure to fill up the tank instead of costing $70. It's $40. All right, good luck to you on that one. Since you're doing well, I'm not sending you a book. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Joe en Paul, laat door de vaar knieken. Brabrilla, Joe en Paul, dat weet je, bully krieken. Brabrilla, zoet, hij koud, hij giet een zole perfect. Hij vet een daftier, kuiven, door bij Joe en Paul.
We
have a medley of ads I'm playing.
America is
from the 50s and 60s. Different world. That's when pasta was spaghetti, these ads.
America's the greatest land of all.
50 cents a plate.
On a highway or a road along a levee.
Cook was greasy, but the food was unbelievable. Today the cooks are immaculate, but you can puke from the food. Sad, I turned it off already. I walk by half-empty restaurants in San Francisco, even some new ones. You know, I don't mock them. You look in the kitchen, and you see these young kids who came out of cooking school. What they could cook, what my mother forgot on a bad day, they can't. But all right, they learn whatever they could. And they all, you know, they dream that they're going to be the next celebrity chef. Most of them will wind up, you know, in a YMCA at 50, probably beaten about the head and neck by somebody they met in the street. But it's sad to look in there and see they don't know what to do. They got the whiskers, you know, the W-H-I-S-K, not whisker on the face. The whiskers are there. It's sad to look at all of the unused implements of a kitchen. I see all these things in a poetic manner that they'll never be used. No one's in the restaurant. Moreover, they don't know how to use half of them. Mainly, they know how to make a bacon and eggs if they know how to bacon and egg or a tuna sandwich. Because like when I was a kid, when pasta was spaghetti, for example, even a luncheonette, a candy store in a corner, they had a thing called a short order cook. What a short order cook knew in my day greatly exceeded what most of the chefs know today, for example. They could knock out 5, 6, 7 meals in 5 minutes. I never saw anything like it, and they had it all going, and everything came out cooked properly. They can make bacon and eggs and a hamburger and a tuna fish sandwich and a BLT and a this and a that, and the French fries came out, everything. Today, one is not heated. The other part you have to send back, or you have to get up and say, get me the bread. Then they bring you the bread and say, bring me the oil. And they bring you the oil and bring me the butter. Nothing is coordinated.
They had one guy. Usually there were guys down in their luck. Either they were ex-cons or they came out of the Navy. They were thrown out for some kind of, you know, sexual pranks down in the boiler room. And after serving about a year on a bunco charge somewhere in Wyoming, they came to New York. They looked seedy. They didn't shave. But they worked at a luncheonette. They could knock out a fast meal or two. As I say, a short order cook in those days could do a multitude of things in the kitchen. Today, they got these poor kids. They go to cooking school. I don't know what they charge them, $15,000. And they come out, and then they have to work their way up. And as I say, in this economy, it's unlikely they're going to get anywhere. And it's kind of sad to look at. But and the implements themselves, my mother with the four-burner stove, the electric stove with the aluminum foil over the little cooker. I don't know how she did it. They don't know what they're doing today, most of them in a restaurant. Some do, yes. Some can make a meal that you get a migraine from the minute it comes out of the kitchen. Everything coated in sugar. Every meal they think has to have raisins and grapes and kumquats in it. I never saw anything like it. I went to, I'm not going to mention where. I don't want to deface or defame it. I decided not to cook turkey for Thanksgiving. I waited till around today to talk about it. Normally I like to make a turkey in the house and have a few people over because it smells good. I like the smell. But I didn't do it. All right. I took nine friends to a very upscale restaurant in Barbara Boxer's Liberal County. Very nice, immaculate looking, perfect. So before going there, I called them and I said, look, I have a certain dietary requirement. It's like, don't sugar the food, whatever you do. I just can't eat sweets. It's not that I have diabetes. I don't. I hate the taste in everything of sugar because I know already how the celebrity chefs cook. Everything has to be doused with honey or everything's like candy, candy food. It's for children. It's like Kool-Aid. So meal comes. First of all, the piece of fish I ordered was no more than an ounce. It was $69. It was no more than an ounce. Not that I needed the food, but it was no more than an ounce of fish. That was number one. Number two, everything I asked for was sugared. The bread tasted like cake rather than bread. So you go to these places for what? The atmosphere. You want to sit around liberals who think that global warming is about to immerse them under the ice any second. That's why they're eating the food as slowly as they possibly can and tipping as little as they possibly can. Well, that's it for the night. With God's will and your listenership, I have another minute to go. I will ad lib and tell you about my book, Psychological Nudity, 75 Savage Radio Stories. The clock got a little stuck, got scared, and got locked up. So I actually tried to time it, but I got a minute. I understand that George Bush is doing his memoirs, and he's going to call it Psychological Obscurity. I hear that's George Bush's title. Is that he's going to tell his entire life in a new book called Psychological Obscurity that will probably outsell Nancy Pelosi's book, which allegedly sold 3,000. Imagine what it matters today. You could break Larry King, Good Morning America, Katie Couric, 3,000 copies she sold of her book, what it means to be a politician in America today. Nobody bought the book. And here I am, a guy from the Bronx, no promotion, no show, no radio except this show. And the book's already going into the third printing soon. Why? Because if you bait your hook with your heart, the fish will always bite, said John Burroughs.
Savage.